Here, let me read from Matthew 9, 35 to 38. If you would turn there with me. I'm reading from the NIV 2011 translation. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray. Father, we have been singing of your praise this morning because you are worthy of worship. You are a good Father. You are a good God. And as we continue in worship through the teaching of your word, I pray that you would open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So good morning. Thank you for having us here to share with you. I want to thank the elders for this opportunity to share about Ecuador and the Navigators and what and a little bit about us. You know, God's often surprised me. So even with Harold choosing the Matthew passage that he was reading, you came close to what I was going to, but I'm so glad he read the calling of those disciples. So as I read from this passage, let me give you a quick context of this to where Matthew 9 comes, right? The writer of the Gospel of Matthew tells us that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah, God's chosen king from the line of David and Abraham. We read that foreigners, magi from the east, came to worship him as a child. Then John the Baptizer prepares the people for this coming Messiah, and Jesus was revealed. Jesus began his ministry preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And he also began calling people to follow him as his apprentices, as we read in Matthew 4. Okay. Harold ended that reading in Matthew 4:22. But let me read Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Does that ring a bell? Does this verse sound familiar? Did you notice Matthew 4:23 is almost identical to the verse I read earlier in Matthew 9:35? See, there's a literary device called inclusio in biblical and ancient literature. This is where a passage begins and ends with the same and similar words and phrases. This literary device is signaling where a thought begins and ends. So when we read Matthew 4:24 to chapter 9, you realize that Matthew 4:23 and 9:35 summarize the accounts of Jesus' ministry. He's the one doing the ministry while his disciples, his apprentices, watched and learned. Okay? So Matthew 9:36. When he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. May I ask you, when you encounter people in your workplace, school, neighborhoods, people you meet in your everyday life, what do you see? Tracy and I minister to university students and recent graduates from the University of Alberta and some of the other universities in Edmonton, like Graham McEwen, King's University. Okay. These young people are at the prime of their life. They entered universities filled with aspirations and dreams of success. They look happy, okay, and seem carefree. But in reality, many are feeling harassed and helpless. The word harass could mean bullied, oppressed, helpless, unable to rescue themselves. Their lives are filled with pain and suffering, uncertainties and fears, feeling lonely and alone, unloved and unlovable. Life is a real struggle, weighed down by heavy burdens. The outward appearance of these young people can be deceiving. Likewise, the very people you meet in your workplace, school, neighborhoods, and your everyday life, many are as sheep not having a shepherd. They are harassed and helpless, in need of our good shepherd, Jesus. Now, perhaps as I describe the painful realities above, you may be saying, that's me. My friends, I invite you to look into the eyes of Jesus as a figure of speech. When you imagine Jesus looking at you, what kind of eyes do you see? The passage we read tells us Jesus' eyes are filled with compassion. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' compassion is a repeated theme. Matthew 4:14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. Matthew 5:32, Jesus calls his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. Compassion. Friends, Jesus in his compassion invites us to come to him. He says in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If that's that painful reality that you are facing, come to our Good Shepherd Jesus. Now, let us return to our passage, Matthew 9:36-38. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Do these words surprise you? I do find them surprising. Because I'm a task-oriented person. Tracy can attest to that. In light of all the harassed and helpless around Jesus, I expected Jesus to start giving marching orders to his disciples. James, you go over there to help that person. John, you help her. Peter, go over there and help that person. Okay. Instead, Jesus told them to pray. I love this insight from pastor and author David Platt. He wrote, quote, "Before Jesus told them to do anything else, he told them to pray. What is even more surprising, though, is what Jesus told them to pray for. I would have expected Jesus to say, 'You guys see the need. The harvest is plentiful. So pray for these people who are harassed and helpless. Pray for them.' But that isn't what he said. Jesus didn't say to pray for those who were lost. Instead, he told the disciples to pray for God to send out his church. When Jesus looked at the harassed and helpless multitudes, apparently his concern was not that the harassed and helpless the lost would not come to the Father. Instead, his concern was that his followers would not go to the lost." End quote. Why should we need to pray that God send workers into his own harvest field? We are to pray not because of God's unwillingness to send, but of people's unwillingness to go. This prayer is as urgent today as it was when Jesus' original disciples have heard these words. Westlock Gospel Chapels, brothers and sisters, I know you have been going through a teaching series on prayer using the acronym ACTS. May I encourage you that in your prayers, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. This is something the Lord called his followers to pray. See, in the campus ministries of the Navigators of Canada, we are seeing God draw university students to himself with spiritual hunger not seen in many years. At the U of A campus, we have 40 students involved weekly in either our discipleship groups or transformational communities that are Bible studies. And all these groups are led by our student leaders. Our bi-weekly community gatherings on Friday nights also draw about 40 to 50 students friends. I've been serving at the University of Alberta for 23 years, and this is the largest number of students that I've ever seen. Besides these groups, as Tracy had mentioned, Tracy and I also meet with students or recent grads for one-on-one, life-on-life mentoring and discipleship. We are also seeing our student leaders catching the vision of God's call to disciple others, such as youth, the youth in their local churches, their friends and classmates. Just a few weeks ago, in January, we sent two of our recent graduates to serve on a two-year navigator internship in New Zealand. Okay. And as Tracy mentioned, in less than 2 weeks, 14 students from University of Alberta, Calgary, and Carleton will be participating in a 10-day Ecuador missions trip. See, one of the key focus of the Navigator ministry is to equip people to become workers in God's kingdom. Okay. Matthew 9:37-38, Jesus says this, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Right? That's in your Bible, right? We did not read, "The harvest is plentiful, but the professionals are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out professionals into the harvest field." Workers. Ordinary people, like you and me. People who are students, teachers, farmers, nurses, engineers, accountants, stay-at-home mom. We desire, as a ministry, to equip Christ's followers to become people who are knowing Jesus, desiring to make Jesus known, and then to help others do the same. You might look at this and say, "What, me?" Yes. As Harold read Matthew 28, that commission to go make disciples of all nations is not just to those 12 disciples or the apostles. It's to everyone. If you're unconvinced, 2 Corinthians 5:17 onwards. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here." "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our call. See, the movement of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus was the one doing the ministry and then having his disciples watch and learn, and here we come to this very passage that I've been focusing on. That's a bridge to what's coming next. When you read Matthew 10, what did Jesus do? He sends out the 12. Okay. See, the need of the people are great. There are many who are harassed and helpless. Jesus can't do it alone. He needed his disciples to join him in this mission. And as Jesus has resurrected and commissioned them, those faithful disciples have passed on that message, just as Paul, the Apostle Paul, did with 2 Corinthians until here. Until now, to this present day. I challenge you or encourage you to pray. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out the workers into his harvest field. Well, as you pray, don't be surprised. God might be tapping on your shoulders and say, that's you. Right? I think it's more people than the 12 that heard Jesus say those words of 9, 36 to 38. But then God, Jesus, say in their prayers, those 12 became the answers to their prayers. So let me end. Even today, to this day, people that we encounter all around us, precious people created in the image of God, but are harassed and helpless, oppressed by their sins, helpless to rescue themselves, and are in need of a Savior. You, as one who have received the grace of God, and that's God's grace, right? For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not by works. But Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Each one of you have gifts that the Lord is saying, come, join me in this work of bringing reconciliation to people around us. So let me pray. Father, we thank you for you. Your great love for us that did not leave us on our own, but draw us to yourself by sending your son Jesus to die on our behalf. And now we have received new life. So I pray for each of my brothers and sisters here, Lord, as you exhorted in Colossians 3:12, as God's holy chosen people, clothe yourself with compassion. Lord, may we be people of compassion as we go about in our lives, that as we go, as we are going in life, make disciples of Jesus. Thank you again for your finished work, and thank you for calling us that there is purpose in this life, in everything that we do. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Just as the team is coming up here, Ken, would you come up and pray, and maybe a couple others in the leadership would come, and we get Tracy and Paul to come up, and we'll just pray. Is anybody okay? We'll just come up and pray with. Oh, right there. Yeah. Okay.